Welcome to Moments with Marilyn. I'm your host, Marilyn Boyer, the mom of 14 homeschool kids. I absolutely love having the chance to share and encourage young moms because I know what it's like to be there in the trenches. And I like sharing things that I learned over my 37 years of homeschooling and my years of parenting that might be helpful to you and make your journey a little bit easier. Today, we're continuing on the topic of savor the season. Last week, we ended with a really rough season. As I said, some of the seasons are enjoyable and some are heartbreaking, but God has a special plan for each season He takes us through. And as we said last week, remember, whatever season you're in, it's not going to last forever. So learn to look for the sweetness in the season that you're in. Another season that I went through was stay in the home company. This was one of life's little details that played havoc with homeschooling. You know, we found when relatives would visit, it was almost impossible to do school with the distraction of having our schedules changed. So I would change it up a little bit. I would try to do a little extra of the type of school that needed my attention before company came, and then have some quiet time when company was there so the kids could keep up with their reading. But the sweetness of it, I would use that opportunity to teach the kids to have a servant's heart. We would focus on the company. We would try to defer our wishes to them. We would try to serve them and make them comfortable and make them feel like kings in our home, make them feel welcomed. We always opened our home to people in our church and people in the community. But stay-at-home company was a bit more challenging. But we found that this was a great time to do family trips. We would go visit some historical places or a museum and would include our company, take them with us so that they could enjoy those experiences with them too. And I knew that way the kids were learning something and they were having fun, and that I would feel better about it too, because something was getting accomplished. Also during that time, I would let the kids read. You know, if I was spending time doing something with the company, they could be doing some reading, extra reading. And it's always good to encourage your kids to read, read, read. Grandparenting, that's another season that you guys aren't there yet, but it's a great season. And I always heard grandparents say, you can spoil them and send them home, but that's not my philosophy. You know, I never held to that theory. I want to support the parents. I want to fill in the gaps for what the parents would like to do, but they don't really have the time or energy for. Do the things that I would have loved for someone to do for me when my schedule was so full with my little guys. I love taking my grandkids to visit veterans. I love taking them on field trips, historical places. Just recently, and you'll see a blog post coming up about this in a couple weeks, we did a Swamp Fox birthday party. One of my grandkids had a party and birthday. So we did the Swamp Fox party. I don't know if you've heard about Francis Marion, but he was in the War of Independence. He was a ranger. He was in South Carolina, and he helped free South Carolina from the British. But anyway, Disney did a show about him back in the 50s, and there was this little song, Swamp Fox, Swamp Fox, tail on your hat. Nobody knows where the Swamp Fox at. Swamp Fox, hiding in the glen. He'll come out and fight again. So I got little three-quarter hats, and I found keychains with tails on it. So we let the kids put a tail on their hat, and we got feathers, which Swamp Fox did that. He had feathers in their hat. And Rick taught the kids the story of the Swamp Fox. He told them the story first, how when a British officer came for a prisoner exchange, Francis Marion invited him to stay for dinner. And all they had for dinner was sweet potatoes that were served on plates of bark, like bark from a tree. And the officer said, "Is this all the fare that you have? Is this all you have for dinner?" And they said, "Well, actually, it's a little better than usual because you're here." So the British officer left after the prisoner exchange. He went back. He renounced his command. He said, "I'm going back to England. I'm not going to fight men like these. They don't get any pay for what they're doing. They're doing this because they love liberty. We will never win against them. So anyway, I got some bark and I made sweet potatoes and I served it on bark. I found some plates that looked like a piece of bark. So the kids actually ate off a paper plate, but it looked like bark. Our menu was roasted possum, which was really roast pork. We drank swamp water, which was chocolate milk, in little mugs. I found these little cups, little tin cups, like Swamp Fox and his men would have used. They would have carried a tin cup in their haversack to drink from. And they drank swamp water, so we had chocolate milk. And we had Mississippi mud cake for dessert. But anyway, all the kids got to play the part of Swamp Fox. They got dressed up. It was really cute. You'll see pictures on our blog very soon about that party. And that's something you could do as a parent. But that's the type of thing I want to do as a grandparent. I don't want to spoil my kids and let them do things their parents wouldn't let them do at home. That's not the job of a grandparent. A grandparent's to support the parent. So it's a pleasant season. It's one that I enjoy. I do miss having my own little people, but I am so thankful that I have my grandkids. We have 27 grandkids right now, and they all live in town. So I am very blessed I get to do fun things with them. Another tough time, and these are not in order, I just, you know, thought of different seasons I've been through, was caring for my dad. When my dad got sick, he lived in Massachusetts, Cape Cod, and be in Virginia, and I would go up for 2 weeks at a time helping my sister care for him. And in between my going up, I would come home and one of my older sons, teenage sons, would go up and stay with him. And it was hard. I mean, it was really hard. Again, that stretched rubber band feeling. It was incredibly difficult. I tried to keep the plate spinning at home and being gone for a couple weeks at a time to help my sister, but she needed help. She couldn't do it all herself. And I wouldn't give up that time for anything. Again, school had to kind of take a back burner. I would let the kids do the things they could do. They could read on their own. They'd get way ahead in the reading. And things like math that I might have to help and instruct them with would have to wait till later. But there was a sweetness in all that. It was incredibly difficult. Again, I had a baby. My youngest was the baby. I was nursing her. My dad was up a lot at night in pain. I would have to nurse her in between taking care of my dad. I mean, it was just incredible, incredibly hard. I would live on caffeine to keep going during the day because I was up a lot at night with my dad, but it had to be done. And my dad knew that we loved him and cared enough to be there with him whenever we possibly could. And for my sons to take that responsibility and go up and be with their grandfather and help him with daily life. And I grew up in a non-Christian home. My family was very against Christianity. But we think on my dad's final few days that he was living, we had shared the gospel with him many times, but he didn't want to hear it. But we shared again, actually one of my sons shared with him. And my dad at that point could nod his head, but he couldn't talk. He was close to death. But the day that we got up there that time, my sister said he had seen his whole life go before him. He had talked about different things he had seen in his life, different things he had done in his life. By the time we got there, he was not able to talk much. But my son, again, shared the gospel with him and asked him if he wanted to ask the Jesus in his heart. And he nodded, and we have the hope that possibly he did understand and possibly he got saved there. And that would make it all worthwhile. But that experience added a new dimension to our understanding of God and our mission to serve him here on earth. It's one of those things I would not want to have to do again, but I am so thankful for the opportunity that we were able to do that and that we were able to pour our lives into our dad. Tough situation. Finances. There's always the stress of finances, and it has not been easy to raise such a large family on a limited income. I've never had a job, never gone into the work world since we had kids. And sometimes it's been downright frightening if you lose your focus on God. But I would have to remind myself that God is the one who gave me my children, and my focus needs to be on Him, not on my circumstances. And I mean, it's still, finances still are tough. I mean, it's not an easy ride. But I have to remind myself of the sweetness of this. God wants us to recognize our need for Him. When life is going well and all our needs are met, it's a temptation not to sense our deep need to rely on Him in all of life's little details. Sometimes we just need a clear reminder that we are not in control. It's hard, so hard to do when we're in the midst of it, but we need to learn to see God is in control of the tough spots we find ourselves in. And remember to pray to Him about all the details of our life. You know, God doesn't want us to feel like we are the master. We can handle this. We can do it. I can do this. I can get through this. He doesn't want us to feel that way. He wants us to sense our deep, constant need for Him. And sometimes He will put us in financial hardship, or He'll put us in these difficult situations so that we have nowhere to turn but to Him. And that's right where He wants us. He wants us to know that we are dependent on Him for our very life. And if we will do that instead of giving in to worry or giving in to anger or giving in to bitterness, and there are times you are so tempted to do that, that's the default. But we need to speak truth to ourselves. We need to keep God's word before us. We need to remind ourselves constantly of the truth of His word. The only truth is God's word. And we need to speak that to ourselves. We need to remind ourselves. We need to tell ourselves, because the world is telling us other things and other people are telling us other things. The only thing we can rely on is God's truth. Then when the kids moved out, that was another tough time for me. We had kids in our home for 44 years. And so many of my energies revolved around raising my kids and working to make them successful. And that's what it's supposed to be about. You know, we are to work and put our energies into making our children successful. It was a total life change for me. And it took some adjusting to. It was really hard for me. I really liked having my kids in my home. It was hard getting used to cooking for two people again. Like, that was super hard. It still is hard. But there's a sweetness that I'm starting to get used to. I've got more time to spend with my husband. I've got quiet time in the daytime to write. I've got a contract for writing 10 readers for Master Books, and I'm working on my 9th reader. And it's much, much easier to write without a house full of busy children. I've done it both ways, and I tell you what, it's easier without the kids around. I've got more time to spend doing things with my grandkids and what I wish others could have done for me. But, you know, I am learning to enjoy the quiet and the peacefulness and the time to have some freedom to do some other things that I didn't have time for during the busy season and the long season of raising my children. As I say, I homeschooled them for 37 years. That was my life. And it all changed when the last one graduated. So there is sweetness in it all. And look for the sweetness. Sometimes you have to dig for it, but it's there. One of my most recent trials was my mother-in-law, who's 91 years old, had a stroke this past October. Rick was gone for most of the next 2 months caring for her. Again, you know, we had loss of income because he was gone. He couldn't be working. Then we brought her to live with us for 2 months. I think it was two and a half months she came to stay with us, and we tried to encourage her to live with us, you know, just to stay so that we could care for her. A couple of my sons and one of my daughters went out to care for her partially during this time. One of my daughters got married in the middle of all of this, and Rick was out there taking care of his mom. We had to fly him in for the rehearsal dinner and the wedding so he could walk her down the aisle and be at her wedding. And then a couple days, then right after the wedding, one of my sons went out to be with her, And another week, Rick was gone again to care for her. But then we had her in our home, and it was 24/7. We didn't want to leave her. We needed to care for her. We needed to help her regain her strength and be careful that she wouldn't get up and fall. She was a little bit unsteady. And it was a rough time. You know, there was a loss of freedom, that freedom I had just been getting used to of not having kids in my home. Now I had my mother-in-law, and I felt a pressure to entertain her so she wouldn't be bored. I felt like, you know, if I was sitting writing or if I was even cleaning, I felt like she was bored. So I felt like I needed to engage her and talk with her and be with her. And you know, if I was writing a story, I'd stop every 10 minutes and tell her what I was writing about and what I'd learned, and had to think of meals that she liked and fix things that she liked to eat. And during that time, the kids had a terrible spell of sickness. I actually did too. Couldn't get rid of a cold, couldn't shake it for a couple months, it seemed like. But the kids were sick, so they couldn't come and visit her. If they hadn't been sick, they would have been there taking her to their homes and doing things with her, but they couldn't do that. And every day Rick would take her for a walk to the mall so she'd get her time in walking. But again, it was a distraction for him to get his work done because he had to spend time with his mom. It was a tough time. But again, you have to learn to dwell on God's truth. Then there was the dilemma when she wanted to go back home. We're not sure she's able. There's a lot of what ifs. What if she falls and breaks her hip? We wouldn't be there to help her. She does not want to move here. The kids are all concerned. We had family conferences. It was tough, and it still is. I mean, she's back home now, trying to be careful. But she's happy. She's doing what she wants to do. We don't know how long she'll live. We don't know if we'll have to bring her back here. We pray that she won't break a hip because that would be like worst case scenario because we couldn't get her here then. But, you know, as hard as it was, there's a sweetness to this season too, the privilege to help her. But you need to talk truth to yourself and remember it's a season. Philippians 4:8, I love it. It says, finally, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy about praise, think on these things. We tried to use this as an opportunity to know her better, ask about what her life was like, about her growing up time, an opportunity to show her love, to defer to her wishes, to take her places she wanted to go, Goodwill and Dollar Tree. And, you know, when she does die, I mean, she'll be 92 soon. I want no regrets when she dies. And I know that our time with her is not going to last forever. And I needed to keep reminding myself of that when I was tied down and couldn't do the things, couldn't be involved in things I wanted to be involved in. Truth matters. God's word matters. God is taking us through this season if we rely on him. But you need to constantly remind yourself. You know, I could list more of things we've experienced over the past years, but suffice it to say, whatever rough spot God has you in, look for his hand in it. Pray a lot and ask God to teach you from it so that you'll become a better Christian and not a bitter Christian. When we cooperate with God's hand in our life, God will make a way for us through the experience. One of my favorite people in scripture is Joseph. You know, he saw God's hand in his trials. When his brothers finally came to him, he says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about many people that should be kept alive as they are today. Because he did not get bitter, because he looked for God's hand in all the years of things that happened to him, God's chosen people, Israel, were saved through his looking for God's hand and not becoming bitter. Psalm 138:8 says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. One thing that's hard to endure for me is being around a grumpy person. I cringe and I want to get away from them as quickly as possible. As a young Christian, I was given a little copy of Proverbs from the Living Bible. It was a little paperback Proverbs, and it was kind of in back then. I was saved at age 16. I was married at age 18, had my first baby on my 20th birthday. So I began reading this daily proverb. I was not familiar with the Bible when I got saved. So when my first child was napping, I would read my daily proverb, and I would ask God to show me a verse that he wanted me to focus on that day. I would write it on an index card and hang it on the refrigerator. One day, the verse I stumbled on was Proverbs 15:4, and in that version, it said, "Gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement." And wow, I began to contemplate that verse, and I asked God to help me live it. I began to realize that when I complained, I not only discouraged everyone around me, but it discouraged me too. And I remember making a conscious decision, asking God to help me daily to choose cheerfulness. 2 days later, the verse that I had was Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." And this was kind of the opposite. A cheerful heart is actually good for your health. And I began to see in days to come that cheerfulness is a choice. Not only do I not enjoy being around a grumpy person, but I don't like being around myself when I'm grumpy. And I can't say that I'm never grumpy, of course, but I hate it and I can't stand it when I stay that way for long. I will not stay that way for long. But I've found that as a mom in your home, you can be a strong source of stability for your family. That's pretty hard to do if you're grumpy. When you are, it drives others away from you. It's pretty hard to bolster up your family when you're wrapped up in your own misery. It's hard for your kids to trust you with their heart when they feel like departing from your presence. So whenever I'm tempted to complain, to have a complaining spirit, I try to withdraw to my room, spend time with the Lord, and ask him to help me get my attitude right before I am around others. I even told my kids in their growing up years, "Hey, mom is struggling with her attitude. I'm going to talk things over with God. Please don't disturb me unless someone is in danger." And then I would go get my attitude right. And when that happens, you're going to be teaching your kids by example what to do when they're struggling with their attitude. These verses have become standbys not only for me, but for my kids as I raise them. I remember having my son Nate write the cheerfulness verse, "Merry heart doeth good like a medicine." And I framed it and we hung it on our wall until it actually started to get faded. He illustrated it with a pretty landscape picture, and it was in the living room for all of us to see and meditate on. One of my children struggled a lot with complaining, so Proverbs 15:1 was his life verse, and we reviewed it many times. You know, we are here on earth to glorify God, not to have an easy life for ourselves. I always remember to try to remind myself to look for the positive, even in things that seem very bad at the time. God often hides nuggets of gold in the dregs of life. If we will only learn to cooperate with him during our struggles, he knows all and he sees all, and he desires to supply our every need. No concern or no struggle is too small to lay at his feet. He cares for the sparrow. Surely he cares for you too. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." Remember too that your kids don't belong to you. They belong to him. And nobody cares more than God about every detail of your life. It brings honor and glory to our Savior when we choose to trust God and to give us the strength to be grateful. Learn to look for the sweetness in each season and embrace it. Don't run from it. Live it. Look for what you can give thanks for. And let's cultivate homes that our kids will want to come back to one day. Thanks for joining me today. We'll see you next week.